Yes, actually.
We had one of our listeners send an email in.
Yes. The email was from Patty, and it was asking why different readings use different numbers of cars.
Why do different readings use different numbers of cars?
Well, that relates to the layouts that I was talking about earlier. So, depending on the layout that the reader is using, they would, you know, it involves different numbers of cards. So, for example, if they were asking a health reading, she may use, the reader may use a health health-oriented, we'll say, layout, which is about seven cards. Or they might ask a more general life question, like a big question, and they might use a different kind of layout, which could involve, you know, 10 or 12 cards. So it really depends on the question and the type of layout that the reader is using to address that question.
Is there such a thing as a mini reading with using, like, three cards?
Yes, a mini reading, that kind of a layout might be present, past, and future. That would be a simple sort of mini layout reading. Some people might ask, you know, is he going to call me? That might be a one-card answer. So, yeah, there's three cards, two cards, there's any number of cards that you want. There's even a layout that was used, a really famous one, back in the 20s by a reader in Europe who used all the cards.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That was quite a layout.
I can imagine. I wanted to know about you being a psychic and you being a tarot reader. When you do tarot readings, does there come a point in which during that reading you make a psychic connection and you get something different than as well as what the cards are saying?
Yes. Yes, I absolutely. Sometimes a client will ask me a question and I know the answer to it, which has nothing to do with the cards. And so I'll answer the question just right away. And then I might pull a card and the card confirms what I said often, which is kind of fun to do. Sometimes I'll pull a card in answer to a question and I know it's wrong. I know that card, the meaning of that card or what it's directing, the way it's directing me to think, I know it's wrong. I just know it. And I'll go with what I know. So I don't rely on the cards in that sense, you know, 100%. I use the cards more as a process, and I think that's what probably a lot of readers do. Maybe obviously not all, but I take it as I would anybody's advice, I suppose. Some advice is worth taking, and some is just garbage, right? I mean, or does it fit with what you know is, you know, it should be the way, and so you don't take it. So I wouldn't rely on them 100%. Like I said, they're one of the tools that I use, but I will always adhere to my own intuition and feelings about things first.
Has there ever been a time where you sat down at a table with a client, put the cards out, and said, today's not the day you're supposed to have a reading?
No, I've never had that experience, but I've certainly had the experience where I had a client years ago come to see me, and I did the reading, and I actually only, I think, pulled out about three or four cards, and she said, this is not resonating for me at all. It's not making any sense whatsoever. It doesn't feel right. And I said, okay, well, you know, let's close it up then, and we will finish. That's it. And she said no one had ever been able to read for her before. Like she'd never had a reading. She'd been to a number of readers and always had that experience that it just didn't resonate for her. It was interesting that she kept persisting, but I didn't feel any connection between her and myself and the cards, and so I just folded up the cards and we called it a day. I've had that. But rarely, like I said, I think that's happened to me once.
What's your theory on that? Is it that someone, like, locks themselves up or something like that, intentionally or unintentionally? Or is it they're just not the type of person whose soul can resonate with cards?
You know, those are all possibilities. It's also possible that because she does keep going to readers, even though she's not getting the information that she feels she needs or wants, that maybe she would take the reading far too seriously. Maybe it would have too powerful an impact on her. And so there's kind of a, like a, you know, it could be her own defensive mechanism coming into play to prevent anything from coming through, which could have any significance or meaning to her. There's any number of possibilities. Certainly she, my experience of her too was that she wasn't willing to sort of open up and discuss it more, you know, why it wasn't resonating for her and what was in her mind. You know, perhaps she wanted to hear something very specific. I mean, you know, it's always the conundrum for the reader that people are fully on board with the fact that you know what you're doing, and so they believe in your gift, and therefore they contact me with an expectation that they're going to hear what they want to hear, you know. And when they don't, you know, they're infuriated and very frustrated that they're not getting the information that they wanted to hear. And that's always the, you know, that's the challenge for the reader, right? And I don't believe in telling people things that they want to hear, because I don't want to give people, hope or you know, I don't want to send them down a path that they really think is going to work out for them when I know it won't and would be a complete waste of their time and resources to pursue. So I'm a reader that, you know, I do believe in telling the bald truth, and I will tell the truth. And I would hope that I think I make that pretty clear on my websites. If you have it in your mind what you really want to hear, then I'm not necessarily the person that you would want to have a reading with. I'm not going to give you false hope.
Kathleen, in your opinion, how often should a person get a reading? Like, they have a reader that they like, how often should they go? Should it be 3 months in between, 6 months, like how many months?
I don't think there's any time frame, to be honest with you. Some people come to me for readings probably, you know, surprisingly often. And I don't think there is a time frame, to be honest, because particularly when people's lives are in transition, they're going through a lot of change, they have to make a lot of decisions, and they're feeling really stressed about it. Day to day, their lives could change, and they want some guidance and some support and help through that, they might come for readings fairly often. Typically, I suppose most people, most of my clients would speak with me at least once a month.
Wow.
That would be typical.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So do you find that people want to get into reading tarot cards, or do you find that a lot of people think that it's not really a good thing to be doing? What's your experience?
I think, you know, attitudes towards the tarot have changed significantly over the years. When I first was introduced to the tarot in 1974, there was only one store in Toronto that sold tarot decks, and it was the Fifth Kingdom Bookstore on Harvard, and they only had two decks. The owner of the store said to me, oh, you wouldn't want to buy Crowley deck because it's really weird and kind of dark and strange. He said, I'd recommend the Waite deck. So in those days, it was certainly more, was harder to find, and I think people's attitude towards it was, you know, kind of spooky, and they found it kind of frightening. I think there's still a faction of society that, you know, because certainly there are religious organizations that frown on the tarot, as they do on all cards, actually, even playing cards are against their faith. And the tarot is regarded by some to be sort of an object of evil. But again, they're imbuing it with a kind of magic that is beyond me. So yes, I do believe that there, I think there's people that are nervous of the tarot for valid reasons. There's people who are scared that it's through the power of suggestion, it's going to actually make their future, not predict it. And there may be some valid concern there. I think there's people who are just nervous about hearing what is predicted, you know, because they're very invested in a particular outcome and they don't want to hear anything contrary to that. So, you know, I think some concerns are probably valid, and I think others are, again, kind of based on a a reverse magic or a negative magic that I wouldn't imbue the cards with myself.
When you think about all the years you've been doing tarot, is there any, can you tell us of maybe a very remarkable experience you had with somebody or something that stands out?
I've had, well, you know, you can imagine I've had many. One that stands out in particular to me was a woman who came to see me a few years ago, whose mother, she asked me when her mother was going to die. Now, she was somewhat hoping it was imminent since her mother had been suffering for a number of years with a few problems, and so I pulled a card, and for some reason what popped into my head with that card, it's not the card specifically gave me that date because cards don't actually have dates, but what date popped into my head when I looked at the card was June 28th, and so I said to her, well, it'll be June 28th. And actually, what happened on June 28th was that her mother fell down a flight of stairs and broke her collarbone, and that killed her.
Wow.
And so, of course, her and all of her family thought that was really frightening. And how I knew that information, or why she was supposed to get that information at that time, I have no idea. But I have that's a very dramatic one, and probably why it comes to mind. But I would say daily I have experiences with people where I tell them things or say things that have popped up that are surprisingly true and quite accurate. So, you know, when people say they don't believe in psychic ability, I mean, I live that every day. So it's such a denial of the obvious. And I think everybody is psychic. I don't think it's just, you know, just a very few of us that have that gift. I think everybody has it. I think for most people, they just don't rely on it and they don't believe in it. It's like a muscle that never gets exercised. And because they don't act on their psychic flashes, it gets rather flabby and dull. But I think everybody has it. You know things that are going to happen. You often know that well ahead of time. You know what people around you are thinking and feeling. You just might not, like I said, act on it. But when you act on it, you will start exercising it, and it will get more accurate, which is why psychics, like practicing psychics like myself, it does get more and more accurate all the time, because I'm using it every day. And so, you know, I have these, I guess, what you would call kind of phenomenal experiences on a regular basis. But I don't think that, I don't think what I do is impossible. I was raised in a home that was very open-minded, and my mother, when I went to my mother, how I discovered that I had actually what you would consider, I suppose, an unusual gift, was I was playing chess with my cousin, and he stopped playing in the middle of it. I was 12 and he was 8, and he said to me, you know, you can't read my mind, like, that's cheating. And I said, well, you do it too. And he said, well, no, I don't. I don't do that. And I said, yes, well, everybody does that. And so I was kind of surprised at the conversation. I went to my mother and I said, this is what, this is what my cousin said and what happened. And she said, yeah, you can do that, but I wouldn't tell a lot of people about it because they feel really uncomfortable around you then,
That's wild. Have you ever had anybody come to you and it's a toss-up between this man or that man and they want you to help them choose? Or?
That happens all the time.
Really?
Yes.
What do you do?
That's a very common question.
What spread do you do or whatever for that?
There's a spread that I use normally for that. So, there's one spread that's really good, which is the sort of fork in the road, it's called. And so you lay out four cards, and then you have sort of an A line and a B line. And so if you lay out the A line and the B line, you're looking at which one is A and which one is B, and then the four cards that for A sort of tell you how this relationship will unfold over time versus B. So what kinds of issues are going to come up and whether it's predicted that this relationship would last and what kinds of problems you're going to bump up against. Some problems are easier to tolerate than others.
Very interesting.
I don't think, in truth though, I don't think that truly we ever love two people exactly the same. Do you?
Oh, I don't know. I've had my times when I thought I did, but...
When you love two people exactly the same?
Yeah, it depends on, which one asked me at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. We could debate that question for hours, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for most people, there is one that they either secretly or in their heart of hearts really do hope is going to work out the best. And the other one they really like for all kinds of good reasons, but is not the one that they really want to work out. That's been my experience, anyway.
It has been so informative having you on tonight, Kathleen.
Yeah, sure.
It's been really enjoyable talking to you both.
Doesn't it go fast?
It does. It was great. It was a lot of fun. You made me think. It was really enjoyable.
I'd like to thank you and our listeners for participating so much tonight. And we're going to go off to a commercial break and come back with us for the last couple of minutes. You're listening to Beyond the Mundane Reality Radio 101.com.